Many years ago, there was a movie by one of my favorite actors, Robert Duvall. I don't want you to rush out and watch the movie. It is PG, but I think it would be all right. But it's a movie that was remarkable in that it ever got made in Hollywood. And it got Robert Duvall his only Oscar, which is amazing to me. He played a country singer who was an alcoholic and had fallen into the depths of despair. And yet, in the midst of it, he found the love of a good woman and the Lord Jesus Christ and came back to become a country star once again, but also came back to fix what had been broken in his life. He remade his relationship with his daughter, and at the end of the movie, he was still singing to the glory of God. In case you're a movie fan, you might already know that the name of that movie was Tender Mercies. Tender Mercies. The screenwriter centered it around the King James Version's translation of one of the verses in the Psalms. That psalm is not translated like that in any of our modern versions because it only represents a basic Hebrew word that can mean abundant mercy, but it is indeed a basic word. In fact, tender mercies are only one time in all of the scripture in our new version, the ESV. But it is there deservedly in Luke chapter 1. We've already heard a reading from it tonight. It was the story of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And he was told that his son would be the forerunner of the Christ, the Lord Jesus. And he prophesied, sang a song, and gave glory to the one who would come. And then described the ministry of his son, his son's ministry of telling people about the salvation that was going to be in Jesus Christ. Here, about the tender mercies of God in Luke chapter 1, verse 76 through 79. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. I'd like to just share with you for a few minutes part of the meditation that I have had while stopping in the middle of my reading through the book of Luke a few weeks ago and sitting on that phrase, tender mercies. I knew it meant something to me, and so I hit the websites, of course, and that's where I found Robert Duvall's movie that I have never seen, though I'm a big fan of Robert Duvall. But I love the phrase. I just started thinking about the phrase, tender mercies. Do you see it there in verse 78? Because of the tender mercy of our God. I got out my Greek Testament and began to study what it really meant and why it was the only time that in our English Standard Version that the phrase tender mercy is rendered into English. I found out because this was an amazing phrase. It was two Greek words. And the first Greek word, kids, don't get grossed out. The first Greek word is bowels. It can mean maybe kidneys. It can mean what hurts when you got a stomach ache. It can mean what happens when you eat too many green apples, which is what I used to do when I was a youngster. It's something down here in the gut. Maybe you've heard that phrase before. Oh, I got a gut feeling about this one. Oh, man. I got a gut feeling about this guy. That word, the gut, or bowels, is then connected to the Greek word for mercy. And so it can't be just translated mercy, mercy, or gut mercy. I love the way it's translated, don't you? Tender mercy. Mercy that you feel. Mercy and love for something that actually, in a sense, vibrates you physically. That was the meaning of why our Greek fathers used this kind of terminology for how we receive the faith and mercy from God. This is what God feels. Now, we know that God doesn't have any parts, do we? We know that God doesn't have kidneys, guts, or bowels, do we, kids? But God has tender mercy. A mercy that could almost touch His physical aspect if He had one. It is the greatest, most magisterial word in all of the New Testament for the mercy and love of God. And notice what it says about it in verse 78. Because of the tender mercy. John the Baptist is going to come and tell people about the knowledge of salvation. He's going to come and tell them about the forgiveness of sins. And why is there forgiveness? Why is there salvation? Because of God's tender mercy. I'm not sure that I've ever had tender mercy. I think I have. I think that as I picked up my children for the first time, I think as I saw my bride coming down the aisle, I think as I have been with those who are about to leave this world, that there is something inside of us that touches our hearts to such a depth we don't attain to it very often. But it is the driving force in the heart of God. It is His because of His tender mercy. And because of it, in verse 78 it says, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. Light comes. A blast of light comes to you. Comes to God's people. Comes to those who hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the tender mercy comes to visit you. I look out and see that there's visitors here. Visitors with families. Some of you I know. Some of you I see seated in a row. You must be with those people. If you're not, we've assigned you to those people from this point onward. It's a great thing to have a visit. I remember the visits in my home when I was a child of one person more than anybody else in the world. He was Uncle Eddie. Uncle Eddie Hastings would always come from California. And the reason I always remembered Uncle Eddie Hastings is because Uncle Eddie Hastings, well, he looked like a bowling ball, shiny on top and red and round in the middle. He kind of made me think, is this like California Santa? Is that what this is all about here? But Uncle Eddie never came empty-handed. Never. I had visits from grandmas, I had visits from uncles, but nobody like Uncle Eddie. And I remember the day that Uncle Eddie brought me the most popular toy in all of the universe at that time, a hula hoop. Gray hairs, do you remember your hula hoop? And I made noise and broke furniture the rest of the night. The hula hoop came from Uncle Eddie. Because Uncle Eddie came to visit. Better than Uncle Eddie, better than anybody sitting in the pew with you, is a visit from tender-mercied God Himself. He comes to give us tender mercy. You see, Jesus came to us as a man, the God-man, God of God, very God of gods, as we sang a few moments ago, but came as a man. But not only as a man, He came as a child. Why do we love children so much? Because I think there is a certain tenderness in our relationships with children. We were here a few weeks ago at our children's program that we always get big crowds to. And they were singing and they were reading scripture. They had their own sort of lessons and carols. And I was sitting about three rows back watching Mary-Kate take over the show, and I was loving that part. And then as I was sitting there, I looked down and saw one of the members of our church with his one-year-old grandson. And as he was sitting with his one-year-old grandson, he crawled over to my wife. And I saw that he was clapping. And so I thought, well, maybe I can get him to clap. You see, as I have told you many times, when you look like me, you have to win over little children. They're naturally afraid of Ichabod Crane, as I have said it many times. And so as that child was sitting near my wife, I said, see if I can get him clapping. And he interpreted that as come. And he leaped into my arms. Now, as a man with out-of-town grandchildren, I just about melted right there. one-year-old little boy, cuddly, sat down with me. And in the middle of the Christmas service, I'm thinking, Jesus was like this for me. Holy, harmless, undefiled, and yet in a sense, helpless. But above all things, that little boy in my lap that night was tender. And I felt like the tender mercies of God was almost able to be touched. God's tender mercies come to us in Jesus. But not just in that initial time. Every day, God treats us with tender mercy. When He comes to us as sinners, and comes to us even in the sore conviction of the law, even when He convicts us of being sinners, He tenderly comes. Even though He is holy and just and could righteously leave us, stay away from us, not appeal to us, not woo us, not come to us, He could do it and be righteous. And yet He comes and He offers mercy. And He offers light. He offers the sunrise. And in my case, I don't know about you, He came again and again and again. I can remember almost consciously the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ touched my heart and made me sense as though that I needed something other than what I had. I can remember it. And I can remember saying, no. I can remember saying, no. No, it was in the Jesus Revolution. I'd seen some Christian fanatics. I did not want to become one of those people. I didn't want to make God all the middle of my life. I didn't want it. And I said, no. I said, no. And I said, no. And I said, no. Why did He keep touching? Because of His tender mercy. He kept reaching. As He kept reaching to some of you. He comes to us that way every day. He comes back and He requires nothing. What's the old hymn say? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Have you been invited somewhere lately? And what did you say? What do you always say when you get invited? What can I bring? What can I bring? Some of you bring 6, 8 mouths to feed. Sometimes that's what you bring. Maybe you want to bring your favorite cake that everybody says is famous. Maybe you want to bring a bottle of your favorite drink. You're going to bring something most of the time. You're going to offer to bring it. And we could say to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, You've done so much for me. What can I bring? And He says, bring your sins and lay them down. Come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. He comes to me with tender mercy when I'm being slow, when I'm being recalcitrant, when I'm being stubborn. Kids, have any of your moms ever called you stubborn? Have any of you ever called you stubborn? I had a brother. I was 6'3" with red hair. He was 5'6" with curly black hair. He was fast and I was slow. I loved basketball. He loved baseball. I thought I was the opposite of him. My father said, no, you're just like him. And I said, just like him? How? He said, you're the two most stubborn people I've ever met in my life. And sometimes when God wants to teach me, He wants to lead me, though He is our sovereign King and deserves us to come before His throne and fall down before it and say, You are our God. He woos us. He touches us with the tender mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ who has come to us. And He makes us realize that even when we're slow to love and slow to obey, He offers tender mercy. And He offers tender mercy when we leave this world. Haven't you seen some who have left this world? Some have left in pain. Some have left in struggle. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, I want to tell you that if you leave this world in the next year or so, I pray and hope that as you leave this world, that you think of the tender mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He will take you home. So what do we do tonight? I have three ideas for you. First of all, if you don't know the tender mercies of Jesus, receive it tonight. It only takes you saying, Jesus, save me. It only takes you, in a sense, clapping your hands. And He will come. How tender. How sweet. How gracious. I was reading some of what Charles Spurgeon said on this passage, and he gave a story of people who don't respond to the tender mercies of Jesus. And he told a story, a little bit of an odd story, an amazing story for 1859, about two Scotsmen who were in a small boat and they were going to cross a lake. And they got in and they had been, well, let's say, overly libated that night. They weren't rowing real well. But they got in and they jumped in and they started rowing. And they rowed and they rowed and they rowed. And they looked ahead and they said, it seems so far away. We're not getting anywhere. And the other said, it's because of you. You're not rowing hard enough. And so they rowed and rowed and rowed. And in the particular condition they were in, they slowly but surely stopped rowing and then fell asleep. The next morning they got up. And one turned to the other and he said, I see the problem. The anchor was still in the water. Spurgeon said, you'll never get across the water to the side of God unless you pull up those anchors. He said, anchors can be like that cherished sin that you'd rather have than have your salvation in Christ. Your stubbornness, your I'm right. I'm independent. I can do it myself. It's an anchor. Bring it into the boat and come to the one who offers tender mercy to you, even tonight. But there are those of you who know that tender mercy. And as I was speaking, I could see in some of your mind's eye how you thought about how God has been merciful and gracious to you over the years. I challenge you in this Christmas season to think about His tender mercies. Meditate on His tender mercies. There's a word that we can hardly do. I meditated a long time over Scripture the other night. I had my phone with me. I had a book with me. I was wondering about some things, so I meditated longer than I've ever meditated. 7, 8 seconds, tops, I think. Before I had to check that text. Before I had to see what Google said about meditation. Take a minute, will you? One of the most precious Christmases I ever had was my first Christmas with my wife, and all we did was we sat down in a dark room with just a candle lit, and we read Luke chapter 2 together. And we just sat there. It was the tender mercies of Jesus that becomes real to you when you meditate on how much He's loved you. And that even as we are ill, and even as we get old, and even as we face difficulty and trials and struggles, He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He never stops answering your prayers. And even when you're stubborn, and even when you're angry and sin again, if He is your elder brother and God is your Father, He reaches out to you in tender mercies. Well, my third challenge is this. Imitate His tender mercies. Imitate His tender mercies. Kids, when you're ripping up the presents tomorrow and you look at something and you're not real sure you got what you wanted to get this time, just remember my second most favorite tender mercy verse. It doesn't have the word tender mercy in it, but it's good to hear. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank You for Your tender mercies in Jesus Christ. Help this truth bathe our day tomorrow and our evening tonight, and help us to be the kind of people who reflect Your tender mercies to each other every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.